Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hey, welcome to the official Redbird Rant podcast. This is season 2, episode 13, and we are so glad that you're joining us. I'm Michael Miles, one of the editors at Redbird Rant, and I am joined today by a newcomer to our podcast, Matt Graves. And Matt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful Thursday.
Now, Matt, tell me and tell our listeners, where are you located geographically?
I am currently in West County, St. Louis, in Wildwood. I grew up here. I'm just home from college for the summer. And I'm just doing what I can, working and stuff.
Sounds really nice. And where do you attend school, Matt?
I'm currently going to be a sophomore at Auburn University, War Eagle, everyone. And nice.
So you go from
nice
the
10-hour
dead heat. I was just saying that you go from the dead heat of Alabama to the heat of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. I was already getting up into the 80s and everything in February down there. So it's just hot everywhere now.
And just for more background information on you, since you're new joining our podcast, what's your area of study in college?
Well, I'm currently doing aerospace engineering and with a plan to do a minor in computer science. That doesn't really apply to baseball, but this is to do on the side. Love writing, love reading, and it's been great so far.
Yeah, and if you, our listeners, if you have not checked out some of Matt's articles, I would absolutely encourage you to do so. He's got some really great pieces that are sitting up live as we speak. In fact, one of them, one that he just recently put up, went up today, was about a trade rumor involving Harrison Bader to San Diego for Brad Hand. And I'm going to actually hold us off on talking about that. We will get to that. But I just want to direct our listeners to get over to the site at redbirdrants.com and check out the articles by Matt Graves. Wonderful addition to our team, and we're so glad that you are taking an interest in joining us on the podcast, Matt. So welcome aboard.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so let's dive right in. And the first thing I wanted us to talk about, you know, on the agenda, this is the aches and pains of playing the bottom dwellers. And really what I want us to talk about is just our takeaways from the series that the Cardinals have really just finished. We all know that they should have done much better. And I'm talking about that nine-game series, or the string of series there when they were playing, San Diego and others that are total bottom dwellers. The Cardinals did not fare very well. What were your thoughts on those contests, Matt?
For me, it's just working the Cardinals more and more towards a breaking point of sorts. I think they had all the potential in the world to come into these series and really show what kind of team they are, and I think they did. It just wasn't exactly what we were all expecting, you know? They could have came in and even if they would have flipped they were 6-9 in the 13 or six and nine, right? In the 15, whatever. They were not doing a great job. And if they would have flipped their win loss, it would have been even better. And it was just continuing to see the same problems that we saw last year. And a lot of things that, it's just kind of a broken record where you get your hopes up, you're excited to watch the games, and then just heartbreaking and things that they've been known for being better at, and they just haven't been any good at this year.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. As a matter of fact, I wanted to chime in and try to help you out with the with the record there, but I have to tell you that I have attended plenty of sessions of therapy since those bottom-dwelling games enough to be able to wash them from my memory. So, you know, that said, I mean, we saw all sorts of crazy stuff in the series. You know, we saw pitchers who should have performed better. You know, that's one of the in that series was when Yadi came back and when Carlos Martinez came back, and Martinez just didn't look like himself. You know, and in fact, in the last start, he started to look a little more like himself, but not even quite. And I think those are the things to me that were so confounding about the series, because the Cardinals should have done better and could have done better. And what we were seeing was more of disappointment and the head scratching. You know, speaking of that, go ahead, Matt.
Definitely some positives that you could take from this last stretch of games. I like to try and find the positive sides of everything. And one of the positives, I think, was definitely Marcell Ozuna, which he obviously got the Player of the Week last week. And it's great that he's coming around. I think everybody expected him to. And as long as his slump seemed, now it might as well be forgotten, because he's batting up in the 280s, high 280s, and the power's coming around. And I think he's finally brought the pressure off himself and has allowed himself to just go out there and play. He fixed a little mechanical issue with his swing, getting his leg bent like he had last year. And it's been wonderful to see him come around. But at the same time, Tommy Pham has been going through an awful stretch of games. Carpenter's been on and off. Jerko has been going downhill. It just seems like everybody who was doing good earlier has now flipped, and as great as Marcell has been, he can't carry it all by himself.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, even in giving praise to Ozuna, which is rightfully due, you know, he goes from Player of the Week to going into a couple of games where his play in left field looked questionable. And quite honestly, it had me questioning how in all of heaven's creations did he earn a gold glove last year. That was not what we saw in the last couple of games. What do you think about his play in left field, his defensive play?
Well, I mean, he looks better than Matt Holliday out there. I'll say that. I didn't really watch. I haven't watched much video from what he was able to do last year. I remember seeing a few touches where he jumped up the wall and grabbed a home run. And I mean, especially the one that stands out is obviously the play that ended the game in Philadelphia. I don't blame him on that one. I think for the situation that he was in, if he happens to get that, the game's over, he's the hero. He might have been a little bit hungrier than he should have been to go and dive and get that ball, because even then, if he would have trapped it, kept it out in front, it still would have tied the game. He tried to be the hero and it didn't work out, and I don't blame him for that, but I haven't seen anything really that would stand out a whole lot in left field from him. I think he's been solid. I think there was some problem with his arm, especially at the beginning of the year, that they were just not telling us, because we saw Pham or Bader come over and make throws for him, basically. But I think there's just room for improvement there, where he probably can improve a little bit to get back to where he was if he was deserving to win the Gold Glove last year.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm so sorry. I didn't know I had it on mute. I just said some of the most genius words ever spoken in Fredberg Rand's podcast. So I'm sorry to those of you who missed it because I had the phone on mute. But I do want to say that what just quickly, to your point about that last play in Philadelphia, I do place a little bit of blame on Ozuna for that play. I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. He wanted to be the hero. He wanted to go all out. But if he had allowed that to drop right in front of him and caught it, kept the runner at third, the Cardinals would have still been up one run. And who knows what would have happened. And I think that's the better risk to take than the dive. But you know what? Like you said, I don't really blame him for the athleticism, and certainly Matheny didn't blame him for the athleticism. And so I hate agreeing with Matheny at any time. But listen, let me interrupt this really quickly, because we have been joined right now by Christian May Suzuki. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And hey, for all of you listening, Christian noticed that his phone was not on mute, which he's already 1 point better than me for this episode. So way to go, Christian. Christian, we were talking about the aches and pains experienced while the Cardinals were playing the bottom dwellers and our reactions to them having the not so great record that they should have had a better record. What were your thoughts about all of that time period when the Cardinals were playing the people who they should have beat?
It's so frustrating. It's hard to really put into words because this team is so much more talented on paper than all of those teams. You look at some of those teams, the San Diego, the Miami Marlins, and you just look at some of these names and you're like, who? And it's to lose to these teams, to give up 11 runs to these teams, to score like 2 to 3 runs against these teams, and to be so very inconsistent. That's the biggest thing for me, is that every aspect of the game for the Cardinals was so inconsistent throughout that entire stretch of games. And you're not good in baseball, especially in baseball. You're not good until you're consistent. And, I mean, the Cardinals have unfortunately really been showing their colors to us. And, I mean, it's a miracle that the guys in charge are still in charge with the way the team has played.
You know, I love what you said for many reasons. One, I love that you comment on consistency. And the one thing that this Cardinals team under the Mike Matheny regime, the one thing that they have been consistent at is inconsistency. And I also love that you really brought attention to the fact that management and the people who were there in the coaching position. I'm as flabbergasted as you are, Christian, that they still have a job. I just can't even begin to understand that. And in a post I recently wrote, I equated them to a car that you don't make payments on, and that if you don't make payments on your car note, they will come and repossess it. And the time has honestly come to repossess our coaching staff. What do you think about the coaches, Matt, in regard to what Christian said?
Well, for a long time, I was sort of had the blinders on towards Mike Matheny, and I didn't really have a problem with him. I could understand your grievances, and I didn't really have that much of a problem with them. But then recently, especially the biggest standout for me, that was just the last straw on the camel's back, was when Jordan Hicks was unavailable for use against the Cubs. When he used him against the Cubs when we were up, and then we had to use Matt Bowman the first game in Philly. Because that was a perfect situation where if we had had Hicks in, he could have came in, game over, we would have won this series against Philadelphia. But instead, he had decided to use him when he didn't need to, and then we had to go with somebody who, it's not fair to Matt Bowman with the way he's been pitching, to put him in a role that he is not the best for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I absolutely do. In fact, I saw Matt Bowman in 2 rehab starts in Memphis. And I tweeted out when I was live tweeting from those games for Redbird Rants about the fact that Bowman was missing a lot of his pitches up. And was sort of some warning signs to me. Now, I had no idea that he couldn't feel his fingers, but apparently neither did Matheny. Christian, what do you take of this? And it's been circulating a lot right now about the players and this lying atmosphere that has been created in the Cardinal clubhouse to what Matt was saying, you know, that it's caused Matheny to put players like Bowman in the positions that he had to use them. What do you think, Christian?
I honestly, for this problem, I'm actually going to go all the way back to sometime last year. It was toward the end, I believe. Much maligned pitcher that I'm certainly not saying he's great, but Brett Cecil did say something that was great for us. And he said something like, well, we don't really have roles in the bullpen. And so it's hard to, you know, come in at any other point when you don't really know when you're coming in. And I think that Matheny really still has not addressed that problem at all. I mean, there's reasons that there's always seems to be one reliever that's a little bit off. It's always seems to be another guy every single night. It just seems to be one guy, no matter what happens, that's just a little bit off. And, you know, sometimes you can attribute that to bad luck, but when we're, what, almost 100 games in, and it's the same thing for about 75, 80 games. I mean, I don't know what to say. You're throwing Matt Bowman in the closer role for whatever, for an inexplicable reason. You're throwing Tui Vailala out in the sixth. You're throwing him out in the eighth. You're throwing him out in the seventh. You're throwing out people on. You're throwing out people off. You're putting in Jordan Hicks wherever the heck you decide to put Jordan Hicks. I don't know what he's doing. Like, look at the way Gomber is used. There's no real lefty specialist. It's just, it boggles my mind, just the way that they're being used, the lack of thought that's being put. It's almost like he's just kind of putting the players' names in a bucket of straws. Like, all right, I'm going to call someone on. Oh, let's get Matt Bowman out there. Oh, let's go ahead with Gomber. Sure. There's no real approach to the way he subs other than timing. And there's not much else to say. I just don't understand.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think it's a basic human need for consistency. When there's no consistency, it's like a bad foundation on your house. And I think that's especially something that's important with leadership. I enjoy learning a lot about leadership, and that's something that is always said is important. And as far as the bullpen goes, I loved the way that Terry Francona managed the Cleveland bullpen in the World Series a couple years ago, when he would use Andrew Miller in the toughest situation rather than just saving for the ninth inning because his name was closer. And I know that's a very new way of managing the bullpen, but I like that. And so I agree that people need roles. I just don't think that they necessarily should be closer, setup man. I think you should have a stopper. So like a position or a guy where if they're in big trouble, it's a very big point in the game. That's where you put your best pitcher because he's the one that can get the best out of it. And then you have a few beginning of the inning guys where they do best when they're put in at the beginning of an inning with bases empty. And you try and stick them to that role as much as possible. I don't think the naming of them or using them in specific innings is the important part. It's the roles in which they use them and the purpose why they use them. Like even Seth Meenis was known as the double play guy. That's fine. He did that job until he was no longer good at it, and then we moved on. And I think the inconsistency is kind of the base or the foundation of why to go. And it doesn't even mean necessarily he has to go. He just needs to be more consistent. If he could change and be more consistent, then fine, stay, wonderful. But the thing is, I think he's shown through his tenure that he's not going to change and be more consistent. So that's kind of why I think it's time.
Yeah, and you guys have led us perfectly into our second topic about the lineups. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. This is episode 13 of season 2. Stick with us. And thanks for being with us. You are listening to the official Redbird Rants podcast, episode 13, season 2 here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Michael Miles, one of the co-editors at Redbird Rants, joined today by contributors, Christian May Suzuki and Matt Graves. And guys, we were talking about the Cardinals and the lack of consistency before we took the break. Let's take that same discussion and look at the lineups. If we look at tonight's game in Milwaukee, this is the current lineup. Carpenter at third, Pham at center, Jose Martinez at first, Ozuna in left, Molina catching, of course, Jerkman at second, Bader in right field, Munoz at short, and Carlos Martinez pitching. What do you think about the constantly changing lineups? Let's start there. Let's start with you, Matt. What do you think about all these changing lineups?
I think it's sometimes necessary, because I think there's no rule book on how to make a lineup. There's largely up to what each manager wants to do. I just think that when Mike finds something that works, he needs to stick with it, which I think is something that he has also had problems with. You remember earlier in the year when Bader was doing phenomenal and Fowler was doing as he still is, which though those roles really haven't changed, but Munoz and Bader had fantastic games and they were out of the lineup the next day. I think I'm fine with Paul DeJong being out if you switch Munoz and Garcia at shortstop based on matchup. But I think otherwise, for the most part, probably 2/3 of the days, I would like to see Bader and Wright, and then everything else is the same as it has always been, and working Jerko in when you can. It's a tough job. I think he's doing an okay job. I would probably give him a C because it is difficult. The biggest thing is just when you find something that works, stick with it. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Don't change it. You know?
Christian, what do you think? This one, I can't put so much on the actual coaches themselves. I think that it's hard to really, like Matt said, it's hard to really come out with a rule book or like a very specific formula for a lineup. I mean, there's no formula that's going to make Dexter Fowler not hit 160. There's no magic formula that's going to make, you know, these guys look like different players. At some point they got to do it themselves. It's not like in a pitching situation where you can very specifically tailor your matchups to what you want because of the way you can switch pitchers. That's not so prevalent in the hitting category. The only real gripe you would have per se is just the matter of personnel that's playing. And it's definitely taken a while. Bader finally playing more consistently. It would kind of just be one game, then he'd sit for a few games, then one game, he'd sit for a few games. But now it's nice to see that they aren't basically pulling the Randall Grichuk and sitting him like every in the most inconsistent fashion, but that's another story. It's more for me, it's less the lineups themselves that's an issue and just more the approach. There's not really much you can do in your lineup when you got guys hacking away. There's no magic lineup formula that's going to make your team not strike out 18, 19 times. So, I mean, I'm not so set on the lineups right now.
I think those are fair comments, you guys. you know, when I look at the lineups, the thing that always sort of worries me is, and this harkens back to Matt Holliday, you know, the thing was, and Matheny seems to, while he moves a lot of pieces around in lineups to try to get guys to hit or make them feel more comfortable or whatever the case may be, over-reliance on particular names sitting in particular spots. Holiday's a fantastic example. He wanted Holiday to bat third or to bat fourth, even when Holiday was not performing at a level to fill those spots, and yet he'd move everybody else around him. In the very same way, he had Ozuna at the start of the season, you know, batting fourth, and he moved everybody else around him, and Ozuna wasn't up to snuff to bat there. Now, he certainly is now. So kudos to Matheny for making that work. But it didn't work initially. And so, to me, I just get a little flabbergasted when I see the top of the lineup changing so frequently, the bottom of the lineup changing so frequently. And listen, I have no problem moving a guy out of the top of the lineup or the upper part of the lineup into a lower spot to get him in a place where there's less stress, or you can hit, and I don't even mind flopping around guys at the bottom, but you really do need to set a table of 1, 2, 3, 4 hitters to know what you've got, and then you can put in an overly aggressive guy at number 5, et cetera. I just don't see a whole lot of gamesmanship in the lineups that Matheny sends out to home plate at the start of the game. So my question to you guys then in follow-up is, Give me your what you think is the best lineup of the players who are currently active on the Cardinals. Now, I mention that because I don't want you to say Paul DeJong. He's not back yet. So using who we currently have, give me just a shot in the dark of what is your best lineup. Let's start with you, Christian.
To argue or to agree with Matheny in any way, shape, or form, but I think that this is sort of the lineup that you are kind of looking at throughout the season, really. I mean, the Matt Carpenter, the Tommy Pham, those have been sort of the top two guys because the other guy who we're paying to be a leadoff hitter can barely hit. You know, you have Jose in the third spot and Ozuna in the fourth spot, which has been essentially sort of the general trend, the route. I mean, you got Jorko, this is sort of the lineup, at least today. This is kind of the lineup that at least I'm expecting to see for the most part. I mean, you can put in a Colton Wong, obviously, because, if you look at the Colton Wong, Kelvin Herrera piece that I did, even though Wong is hitting like absolute garbage, the dude is one of the top defensive second basemen in the league right now. So that's the only real, but I mean, it for this lineup in particular, I don't really have particularly that much to complain about in comparison to a lot of the other lineups that come out of Matheny.
That's fair. Matt, your turn. What's your best lineup you could put out?
Well, I kind of agree with Christian that this is basically as good as it's going to get with what Matheny's willing to do. There's one thing that I brought it up earlier in the year, and I think it would just be interesting to try for a week and see how it would do. And that would be moving the pitcher spot up to 8 and moving Carpenter to the 9 hole. Or either that or have Bader. So then you would either go Carpenter, Bader at either 9 or 1, and then Pham, Martinez, Ozuna. That because I think with Bader's potential and ability to get on base, I like him right at the top of the lineup, but I don't like him enough to displace Pham at second in the lineup. And again, there's a lot of arguments that it doesn't really make a difference once you go through the lineup one time or even one inning. The first three are just there, so you get your best three pitchers or hitters going up at the beginning. But I just think it would be interesting to see, to sort of have the second leadoff man with Bader.
And I have to tell you that I completely agree with you, Matt. I think that with the Cardinals performing in the way that they have been, that I think a shakeup of that nature is exactly what Tony La Russa would have done. I think when you have a speedster like Bader, or even Colton Wong down in the 9 spot, having another similar leadoff guy. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, I think it would even be a good thing on the days that Fowler plays if he saw himself sitting in the nine and having that ability to, hey, your job here, since you want to be a leadoff, is we're going to let you be a leadoff when it comes back around, and we want you to be there to really turn things around. Additionally, if you had somebody like a Bader or a Fowler sitting in the nine spot and the pitcher before them, the pitcher's not guaranteed out now. And so those are things that I think would be really, really great. And guys, that was a wonderful conversation. Let's turn a little bit to trade rumors now. And what I want to do is go around the horn and just go base by base, hear who you guys would love to see the Cardinals chase after, or who in that position now you'd like to see them send away. And the first one up, first base. Matt, who do you want the Cardinals to have playing first base, or who do you want them to send away? Let's hear it.
Well, as I wrote in my article the other week, I definitely think that Jose Abreu would be the best guy to go after. Listening to the radio today, they brought up a good point that the Cardinals don't really have in the infield any good guys that are healthy that are good on both sides of the ball. When you have both Jose Martinez and Matt Carpenter in the lineup at the same time, that now puts first base and third base as defensive liabilities. And Munoz has 9 errors, I think, at last check. And Wong is great defensively, but he can't do anything offensively. If you brought in Jose Abreu, I think it would be a definite upgrade. I think in that deal you would need to send out or do something with Carp or Martinez, whether that's moving Martinez to right field or another different lineup. But I think he would come in and mash. He's got a couple years left under control, and that's what I'd like to see him get at first base.
All right, Christian, we turn to you. First base.
First base. I might go with it's tough. I mean, because Abreu is definitely sort of the guy that is I talked about that you could really expect to come. I know he gets hurt a lot, but a guy that I might want to see particularly is Freddie Freeman. I think that he is he's solid enough both defensively and offensively to where you don't have to, you know, worry about. I mean, really, the only issue that I have with Martinez is that his defense is just unacceptable as a first baseman. So if you could just find someone who has similar production of hitting, but and is at least serviceable at defense, I mean, that's kind of the piece that you want to go for. I mean, I think that there's a decent amount of names out there that sort of fit that bill, because I don't think the Cardinals need to go too hard on a first baseman in particular. But, I mean, obviously the dream scenario would be like, oh, go trade your team for Joey Votto or whatever. I think like a guy like you said, like a Abreu or like a Freddie Freeman, I mean, guys who are at least serviceable on the other side of the ball, I think that's kind of what the Cardinals need right now, because the defense is just, I mean, do I need to say anything about the defense?
No. And I will tell you that I would love to see Freddie Freeman as well, but that's probably not going to happen this season with Atlanta leading their division currently. Abreu would be fantastic. What did you guys think about Russ's article about Moustakas coming over? What do you think, Christian?
This is a tough one because this is more of a personal thing. When I watch Mike Moustakas, I don't know. There's just something that just doesn't click with me. There's just something that he just doesn't quite have. And so I don't know if it's approach or something, but there's just always been something with him that I've watched him like, I don't know if he's quite the guy I want on my team. It's more of an eye thing than a stat thing. So you can go ahead and tell me I'm wrong all you want. But, I mean, I personally, I'm just sort of on Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, and he was talked a lot about in the offseason when the Cardinals were kicking around the names of Moustakas or others. But Matt, what do you think about Moustakas?
I would love him as a rental for the rest of this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the fact that he's a Royal and there's some deep-sung dislike deep down. I don't know. I don't have anything wrong with the Royals, but I guess I just get this weird feeling about him in my stomach. I wouldn't want him long-term, I don't think, especially since we have this Fowler deal working out where he's past 30, he's getting a little older. I don't know if we would want to get him for long-term, but he's just signed on the cheap one-year deal, and he's been raking and proving everybody wrong. So he's a guy who has something to prove, and why not bring in somebody who has a fire under his butt this year, you know?
Okay, so let's move our attention then to second base. Christian, who do you want at second base? Who should the Cardinals trade away?
The Cardinals should have Colton Wong at second base and should not trade anybody. I mean, I know he's hitting badly, but number one defensive second baseman in almost every metric aside from double plays, I mean, that has to account for something. And, I mean, at the value that we currently have Wong, I don't see that there's any way that we would get anything that would be more valuable.
Okay, I don't disagree with you at all, but let's see what Matt has to say. What do you have to say, Matt? Second base.
Well, I think I agree with Christian, and that's why I think it could be upgraded because you'd love to see some more offense, but Wong may come around, he may not. I don't think it's first priority, but if they were to go somewhere, I would try and aim for a guy like D. Gordon because I know the Mariners are doing well, and so he might be hard to get. But this guy already has 19 stolen bases this year for the Mariners, which as a team, I think I saw a stat the other day, 22 caught stealing already for the Cardinals. And so they could definitely use his on-base and stealing threat. He's a guy, power, but he's batting .292 so far. And even with the history of steroid use, we signed Johnny Peralta. I don't have a problem with that.
That would definitely be an interesting addition to the Cardinals. I'll give you that. I think at the end of the day, I'm still with Christian. You know, we've paid a pretty penny to Wong, and I think he can do well. I think he could do really well with a different manager, but that's a whole different story. Let's jump over to third base and start with you, Matt. Who do you want at third base, or who should the Cardinals move off of third base?
Well, first off, I really don't think they should go after Josh Donaldson. I like the idea at first, but he's just like Fowler. He's 32. He's already declining. He can't stay healthy. Maybe if it was 3 or 4 years ago and the price would be admittedly high enough where the Cardinals wouldn't be going after him, then he could be a long-term piece there. But I don't think that they should go after a guy who's a rental. I'm sure the Blue Jays are going to still have the price be really high for a guy who doesn't deserve his price to be that high at this point. As far as another options, I mean, you could go out to Oakland and look at, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Matt Chapman? Is the third baseman over there?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, he would be a great option, a lot of power. I mean, I guess that would be my choice right now. I know the A's are rebuilding, and it might be hard to peel him away because I know he is young, but just go young or keep Jerko over there. Jerko, his bat has not been amazing, but his defense, I think, has been very underrated as a career here on the Cardinals.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to get Christian or I to disagree with that about Jerko, but let's hear from you, Christian. How about third base?
Man, Matt stole my thunder. I thought I was gonna surprise everyone with the Matt Chapman thing, But I mean, that would be right now. Matt Chapman would probably just based off of, I mean, there are guys out there, like, you know, statistically speaking, that have the numbers per se that you would want. But for example, guys like Eugenio Suarez, but they're a lot of those guys are like sort of locked into those big contracts. I mean, or, and then you've got obviously the guys like Arenado, Chris Bryant, Donaldson that you just either can't or don't want to touch. So really the guy that rounds out, I mean, there's definitely Chapman, I think, is definitely the number one option simply because, I mean, the defense is just, like I said, I mean, like we've been saying, the defense is bad, and he is the best defensive player this year in terms of WAR. So, I mean, he's proven that he's – and he's been pretty decent over the last couple of years. I don't think he's been, like, astronomically higher defensive WAR than everybody else like this year. But, I mean, it's been something. I mean, if the Cardinals really, really want to take a risk, an interesting name would be Eduardo Escobar from the Twins. That would be more of a power option. He's got a top five ISO power, so that would be more of a. He didn't hit very well last year, so that would be a risky play. But it's more of a matter of would you go for the fielding or the big punch, and Chapman fits more of the fielding and the defensive and the money ball. Wow, I think if you're going for that, good old St. Louis Cardinals hacker miss, you go Eduardo Escobar.
I find it very interesting that both of you would mention Chapman, and I'm not opposed to that whatsoever. I'm really intrigued, though, to hear what you think it would take to get him. Let's start with you, Matt, since you brought him up first. What do you think it would take for the Cardinals to land the player from the West?
Well, especially because he's a young guy with a lot of potential, it would probably take someone like Colton Wong or one of our many outfielder pitching prospects like a Dakota Hudson and maybe even reaching up into the Weaver range. I'm not exactly sure, but the other name I just remembered is Nick Castellanos. I don't know how I could forget him, but I wrote about him in my article the other week again, and I think he would be another great option, not as a defensive upgrade, but as a hitter over at third base.
All right, Christian, what do you think it's going to take to get a Chapman?
I think it's definitely going to take at least one of the like Matt said, either like the sort of the Luke Weavers or those kinds of players that aren't registered as the top quote unquote top 30 prospects, but are basically still like considered prospects, or one of those top 30 guys. I mean, I think that like you said, that they're very much looking to rebuild. So I think that they'll probably be looking for someone that they can really build off of as a sort of a corner piece. I mean, Chapman is good, but I don't think he has the potential to be a franchise cornerstone. And so they'll probably look for someone that maybe a couple of years down the line, whether it's a pitcher or a big hitter, could be that franchise cornerstone. So, I mean, a guy like Flaherty, a guy like Hudson, or, you know, those kinds of – that level of players that we are possibly thinking could be, you know, the next big guy. That's probably what it's going to take for a dude who is by far the best defensive player statistically so far in the MLB.
Boy, you guys have really presented something that has really piqued my interest. I'm going to have to do some digging into that. Congratulations to both of you. Let's talk now about shortstop. Start with you, Christian. Who should play at shortstop? Who should the Cardinals get? Who should they let go of?
The Cardinals should get Manny Machado. No, I'm just kidding. There are a lot.
I honestly thought there was someone else on this call right then. I honestly thought someone else. So that was very scary. And I'm asked to never do that again.
Okay. All right. I'll try to refrain. So I mean, there's a lot of big names at shortstop, and it's really hard. It's either like a big name, or it's a name that you don't want to look for. So this is another one that's sort of a – I would be okay with sticking with Paul DeJong or even a Jed Jarko as short. But I guess if you're going to go for anybody, two guys that are very, very possible, albeit improbable, are Andrelton Simmons and Francisco Lindor. Obviously, with me, the big trend has been defense, because all the guys that I'm naming are good defenders, because, I mean, like I said, that's the big issue. But Simmons, despite sucking usually at the plate, has actually done pretty well this year. He only strikes out 3.8% of the time he's up to the plate, has a 311 BABIP and a 312 average. I mean, as one of the best defensive shortstops and on a team that's struggling with Mike Trout putting up the numbers that he's putting, I mean, I don't know what they're sort of trying to position themselves to do at this point, but if you can try and get an Andrelton Simmons for probably a major league level player to sort of supplement them, I mean, that might be something that you might want to try and do. And then the other one, if you're looking for more of the pop variety, is Lindor. I mean, like I said, these are really, really, really hard guys to get, because in this position, it seems like it's sort of either the primo or the Zippo. So I think that those are kind of the guys you would go for, but it seems like, at least in my opinion, it seems like it would just be a little too hard to get these guys. But if you can and you want to, by all means, but I think it's not worth the effort, and it would be more worth it to focus your time into other positions and just stick with either DeJong or Yorko, or even a Munoz at shortstop.
Okay, so we have the votes from Christian. We have the one vote from that random voice that took over the call. And what do you have to say about shortstop, Matt?
I would not touch it at all. I would not want to bring in anybody else, because you don't know what's going to happen if you do. Because if you do something like that, you could mess with the confidence of a Paul DeJong. You could just disrupt a lot of things that don't need to be messed with. You don't know which butterfly you kill is going to destroy the world. So Paul DeJong comes back. You just hope and pray that his hand is fine and that does not knock off too much of his hitting skill for a while. And you just stick him right back in there, because he is the only player, in my opinion, that is good on is a two-way player for the Cardinals, both defensive and offensive.
I have to agree with you, Matt. I want to agree with you, Christian, and I do agree with you on the point that I don't think that they're going to pick up anybody for that spot simply because of the cost and et cetera. I do love your suggestions, though, Christian. I'd love an Andrelton Simmons to come over to the Cardinals. I actually honked for him for a couple of seasons now. And I wouldn't even mind an Escobar. I think that'd be just fine. But I don't see those things happening for the very same reasons that you mentioned. I also don't really see Manny Machado happening. I'm with you there as well, Christian. The dude wants to go to a bigger market. I think that the Cardinals just need to leave him alone. We've lost too many attempts to pick up some big market guys. And you know what? Just don't even introduce it. That's what I say to that. You know what? I'm going to skip the catcher, because I think we know who's going to be there, unless he moves into some kind of coaching role or what have you. So we're not even going to talk about catcher, but let's talk about the outfield altogether instead of separately. Give me who you want in the outfield for the Cardinals, if you want to go get someone elsewhere, and who you want to send away. And I think I know one that we could all agree on sending away. But let's start with you, Matt, outfield.
Well, this kind of goes back into for today, which I just wrote about Brad Hand for Harrison Bader, which I will get to in a second. But let me just say first, unless the Cardinals are looking to rebuild, which I would not want to see Cardinals Twitter on a day where that happens, if they trade away Tommy Pham or Marcell Ozuna, watch out. There's going to be riots in downtown St. Louis. But for right now, I think those two positions are fine. They're set. Pham's just going through a slump. I think when the day comes that both of them click, it'll be a great day for the Cardinals offense. But as far as right field, I think everybody who's calling for us to trade Fowler, no one's going to take him. There's no way that any team sees that unless we offer to pay every penny or very close to it of his remaining $60+ million salary. I don't see why, and even then, he has just been atrocious, and it's nothing against the guy. Don't go out and message him on Twitter and yell at him. These things happen. It's not his fault, but looking for it, well, it's his fault, but there, you don't need to attack him personally for how he's hitting a ball on a field. He's still a great guy. We just need to give him time, and I think, honestly, for me, that answer is send him down. Just let him go get a reset with different coaches talking into his ear, and he might come back and it'll be a wake-up call and he'll do great. But in the meantime, going back to the Bader for Brad Hand, I think we can talk more about how Brad Hand would help in the meantime, but I think there is definitely a love affair at the moment with Cardinals fans and Harrison Bader. And don't get me wrong, I love the guy. I think he plays harder than anyone I've seen play on the Cardinals in a very long time. I think he, if anyone is going to outplay his potential and what he has been scouted for, which is a fourth outfielder, he is going to do it. And I would love to be proved wrong on this point, but I don't think that he will profile as more than an average outfielder that has great defensive ability, but not much on the offensive side. I think that right now fans are looking at him as someone who sees a stock rising really high. When stock is going well, people are thinking that it's going to keep going well forever. And that's usually the time that you want to sell. And right now, if you sell high, which the tweet via John Paul Morosi that the price for Hand is an everyday young player, my first thought was that's either Bader or DeJong. I don't know if Bader is even enough, but I had the thought, and it has came true because of the poll that we ran on Twitter, that everybody is all up in arms because I said that we should trade Harrison Bader. But just believe me, and again, I hope to be wrong, but I don't know if he's anything more than a great defensive substitution, fourth outfielder, play 3 or 4 times a week.
Christian, do you have any rebuttal to what Matt just said?
Honestly, I really don't. I mean, it's hard for me at least to see Bader as some star right now because, man, I know he's hitting 250, whatever, but just the way that he looks, the way that he approaches, he just does – sometimes they're just bats. He just looks completely outmatched, and it is concerning at times. So, I mean, it's – I can definitely see what he's saying in terms of the fact that he might not reach that potential, but I would probably hold, I mean, and I would definitely hold on to him at least for the moment. I think that if he can, even if he can bump it up a little bit, if he can get his average up to something like a 270 or a 260, just a number that's a little bit higher on that 200 scale, I think then he can be – his value will go up and he can be a really, very, really appealing trade with a trade prospect with both those offensive and defensive abilities. And then, I mean, what are you going to trade Dexter Fowler for? A tuna sandwich that's 3 days expired? I mean, you aren't going to get very much for him. So, I mean, no team is going to give more than, like, 5 cents for the guy. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want him on any – if I were a fan of any other team, except maybe the Cubs, because the Cubs are – yeah, the Cubs. But, I mean, it's hard at this point because of just the sort of the position that everyone is in. I mean, you definitely want to stick with Pham, and then you have to kind of stick with Ozuna at this point. So the issue becomes really the Fowler and Bader, that area sort of. Now – are there a lot of players out there that, in particular, that play right field that are really out there? I mean, there are guys who are in the outfield that, you know, sort of bounce around, but there aren't really a lot of great right fielders, per se, in particular. I mean, the only one that I can really, really put my finger on that I would actually reasonably one on the team, or two, I guess, are Mitch Haninger from Seattle and then Nomar Mazara from Texas. Neither are particularly good defensive players, which is kind of unfortunate, but they would be the most reasonable players that aren't horrible on defense, but can also provide you with the offensive power that the Cardinals have kind of needed. So, I mean, I would definitely agree in terms of both the value of Bader and the value of Fowler. But, I mean, I do think that we can definitely get something that can sort of push them up. And I think that right now, I think that Haninger and Mazara would probably be the two best that you could possibly go for.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about that statement is if those are the criteria by which you are looking at picking up a player, then you have to say it's best to do nothing. And that's kind of frustrating for us. Hey, I want to toss something out really quickly, and then I want us to get back to this. But I am watching MLB Tonight on MLB Network, and they just rolled across source is saying that the Phillies are interested in Adrian Beltre from Texas. Do you think the Cardinals should toss their hat in that ring? Let's toss it to you first, Christian. What do you think?
I love Adrian Beltre. You know, I think that he's a great player. I think it's hard to really say that he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer at this point. But my thing with trading for these kinds of players is that if you're going to trade for them, you either have to believe that they are the piece that will bring you over the top, or you have to have a plan in place that will bring in pieces that will get you over the top, so that when you're dealing with the repercussions in the future of taking on a player like that, it's not as bad, because you did what you were supposed to do, and you did what you needed to do in that year, and you won the title, so you reap the rewards. Are the Cardinals anywhere close to either of these things? No. So I would say absolutely not.
Matt, any thoughts from you?
I wouldn't hate it, I guess. This year he's only played in 45 games, and his power has been pretty much non-existent. He only has 3 home runs. He is batting .302, but I think he has lost a lot of his – I mean, he's a 39-year-old guy. I can't blame him. He's lost a lot of his defensive ability. I just think it's probably a bit too late to go down that route to trade away anybody for somebody who is most likely going to retire, if not after this year. Actually, his contract is up after this year. Yeah, so he would just be a rental. So – most likely is going to retire. I don't think it would be worth giving up.
Yeah, and guys, my gut tells me that it would cost too much. I'm kind of surprised that even the Phillies would have a lot of interest. I know they're pushing for a big win this season, and right, well, they should. They're playing fairly well. That said, I think that the Rangers are going to want to hold on to him through the end of the contract and let him retire a Ranger. So I think that their asking price is going to be somewhat steep. Sticking with our trade talk, let's look at pitchers. And you guys can give me a starting pitcher or a bullpen arm. Who do you want the Cardinals to grab through a trade, or who do you want them to give away? Starting with you, Matt.
Well, one of the names that I stumbled upon in my research for the trade options article that I wrote last week was Tyson Ross. I have always kind of just been a casual fan, because he's just been very solid and not remarkable, but good enough. And I think there's definitely the two different ways you could go. You could either maximize your strengths or fix weaknesses. If they go to maximize strengths, I think Tyson Ross, who's been around for a very long time, could come in and really provide a good veteran presence, kind of like a Jake Westbrook did a few years ago. And so I think that would be a name that I would go after as a rental. As far as in the bullpen, I am sure that Mo is doing his due diligence and is going to find some guy who was hurt the last 3 years and somehow has been in the minors and is now going to come in and just pitch great for us the last half of the year. But again, my names would be Brad Hand, and the name that I don't think we could get, but if we could, I would love a guy like Felipe Rivero from the Pirates. He throws close to 100, and from the left side, throwing that hard, I think it would be a great complement to Jordan Hicks.
Okay, Christian?
Yeah, I think I'll throw out a few, at least for the starting pitchers side, because I think with relievers, it's a little bit harder to sort of pick out. And I think that in terms of relief, theoretically speaking, the Cardinals should have the bodies. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you have talent in your bullpen. I mean, as bad as they've been pitching, I mean, it's hard to deny that with this kind of, like, stuff that they have on their pitches, the breaking movement. It's hard to say that guys like Tui and Matt Bowman, I mean, despite pitching like garbage, that they are bad pitchers. They just need to sort of, theoretically speaking, they sort of need to just get themselves going. They'd be okay. But in terms of relief, there are guys obviously like Brad Hand. You would look for more of a, I don't know if they need a bona fide guy. So it would be probably focused around just getting guys that can sort of can like guide them through some of these can't seem to get across for whatever reason. I mean, there always just seems to be one inning, and it always seems to be a different pitcher, like I was mentioning. Now, there are guys, like I said, I'd ship Matt Bowman, as talented as I believe it is. I'd be the first one to ship him on a rocket ship to Mars, because I certainly don't want to see him pitching for us anymore. But, I mean, it really should be a matter of sorting things out internally first. Because I do really believe that there is talent there, especially when you insert a guy like Gomber. I think that they have the talent that they need to work out, and it's all young talent. And even I wrote a piece on it a while ago, I believe last year, toward the end of last year, but I even think that Luke Weaver is an excellent candidate for the bullpen because of his pitching makeup, because of his small frame, and just because he can get guys out in a concentrated area, as he sort of gets on into a game, he can hang things and he can sort of lose control of his pitches. So I think that they have the internal talent to, you know, work it out. Now, will they coach it out? Will they actually be able to do it? That's a different story. But talent-wise, they should have it. Now, for starting pitching, I do think that, you know, you could definitely get some guys that, I mean, you have Michaelis, but I think that having guys that don't kill you on your own, that make other teams hit your ball, basically guys that aren't walking 600 people an inning like the Lance Lynns and the Carlos Martinez's and all those guys of the world. So, I mean, there are some guys out there, I think. Guys like Tanner Roark, guys like, you know, Gerrit Cole, like Dylan Bundy. They might not be these, you know, that will pop out of your, off the radar, will pop off the paper with the stats. But these are guys that are relatively solid and they're dependable and they don't get blown up all too often. Just someone who can sort of anchor things, because the Cardinals are built in a way that the young talent is supposed to sort of take the helm. And if the young talent doesn't take the helm, then there's no amount of players that the team can acquire to really change that. So I think with this staff, it's a matter of getting a complimentary piece and less getting the number one guy.
I think that is all of those comments are very astute. And if you guys have noticed, I really haven't given any of my opinions on these positional, you know, who should we get, who should we lose, because I was trying to hold out for the very last. And Christian, you really hinted to what I'm about to say in your comment just now. I think the season has been going I think, and I would be very pleased to see the Cardinals do nothing at the trade deadline. Do not become a seller unless you have a great, great offer. Do not become a buyer at all, even over the names that you guys mentioned, and you mentioned some really great names. You know, this is not a lost season per se, but it's not a season that I can see the Cardinals taking some huge dramatic run and climbing up to the top of the division. I'd be very happy to be wrong with that, but it makes more sense to me to see the Cardinals standing pat and just not being a player in the deadline. In other words, not making outbound calls, but perhaps taking inbound calls. And in doing so, they can allow the young guys to show what they've got or what they don't have. They can also discover some guys trying to make some comebacks, like Holland, as a matter of fact, if he couldn't keep up as he did in the last two games. Or, you know what, hey, we've got Edward Mojica down in Memphis, and maybe Edward wants to find himself a better contract, and throughout the second half of the season, the Cardinals bring him up to the majors so that he can show he's still got stuff. All of these things, I think, make better sense for this team. Now, all of that is said with the gigantic caveat that if the team listens to us and they get rid of Matheny and Mabry, then I think you can say, let's go after some change agents in the way of players. Guys, I want to tell you, thank you so much for a great show. We've actually run out of time. We had plenty more on our agenda, so we'll bump that to the next episode. So stick with us. But just quickly, just want to get your gut reaction to the news of Michael Walker going on the disabled list. What do you think about that, Christian? And then we'll go to you, Matt. What do you think?
I mean, it's just another bump in the road. I mean, there's not much you can really say. It's very disappointing. And I'm surprised to see that Gant is the one who is the one who's replacing him. But it just seems like the circle of life in this terrible Cardinals season, to put it lightly.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Matt, what do you think about Walker going to the disabled list?
I think it's just another kind of additive to this sort of trend that we've seen lately where the bullpen or the starting rotation has been the strongest part of this Cardinals team, and that's kind of changing. Lately, we've seen cracks in Walker. We've seen cracks in Miles Michaelis a little bit. Weaver hasn't been as good lately. Martinez is still not great coming back off the DL. It's just kind of heartbreaking, honestly, because that was the one thing where we've said this is our greatest part, and it's kind of cracking. So hopefully they can bring up Gant. And even one of my first thoughts was maybe they bring up Gant to be in the bullpen until they need the rotation piece and bring up one of the other young guys.
Yeah, and listen, I'm glad you mentioned that last piece there, Matt, because I think that's absolutely what they're doing. I think Gant's coming up for long relief until Walker's spot rolls back around. But I guess we'll see. But guys, again, thank you so much. What a fantastic 13th episode of our second season. Matt, congratulations on your first episode with us on the podcast. Great job by you.
Yeah, thank you.
Christian, terrible job by you as always. So no real surprise there.
Much appreciated.
Yep. And listen, tell your sister not to get on the phone again next call.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'll make sure.
Well, for all of us at Redbird Rant, I want to say thank you to our listeners. Make sure you check us out at redbirdrants.com. Great pieces going up every single day. Several days we have 4, 5, 6 articles going up, so make sure you check back regularly. For every writer at Redbird Rants, I am co-editor Michael Miles. I want to say thank you. And we are about 90 minutes away from first pitch tonight in Milwaukee. And what we have to say is, go Cardinals, beat that first place team. So thanks for listening and catch us next time. Go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.